that last song, very powerful to me. I used to sing that quite often to myself, especially when my mom was going through some health issues and those kind of things. So it means has a special place in my heart. Saying that song is very special to me. You are my hiding place. You always fill my heart with songs, deliverance. And I'm not ever afraid, I'll trust in you. That really is quite the theme of what I'll be speaking on today. It's good to see everybody here this morning. Always encouraged, and I pray that the words that I speak today will be words that encourage you. We'll also be having a special testimony from someone in the audience here today as well. Share their testimony, hopefully to encourage you. Whatever you might be going through, whatever you're doing. Still not on?
No, he's coming for something. I don't know if it's your mic or something else is off.
Check. Oh, good. Speaking of mild difficulties, it's all right. How many of you have heard the phrase, life's full of surprises, right? I like surprises. I don't know about you. How many people like surprises? Yeah, okay, good. Yeah, good. Birthday surprise. That's good. I also like to surprise other people. You like to see the joy in their face just by blessing them. Surprising them. I also like to do little scare people, give them a surprise that way. I know Tracy knows what I'm talking about. My boys like to scare her when she's down teaching them in Sunday school. And I think you got them back the other week. I heard you scaring them, I think, when they were out there. No, that's fine. Thanks, John. So we like those kind of surprises. I like turning the lights off when my wife's getting ready to go to bed and then jumping out and scaring her. She's very gracious to me, very gracious for that. So those are the good kind of surprises, but I want to focus more today on the bad surprises. And we don't typically call those surprises. We call those hardships. We call those trials, tribulations, tragedies, disasters. Those are the kind of things that are the bad surprises. And how many of you know life is full of those as well? And we've all experienced those. That's right. That's right. So what do we do when we come through those tragedies, when we come to those surprises? And as I thought about that, I realized how fragile our lives really are, and our faith can be such a strong part of us, but we can be blown about so easily, and yet here we still stand today, still faithful in God. And some of you have been walking this life for a long time, longer than I have, and you're still here, still honoring God with your lives. And what a testimony that is to the hardships that this life throws at you. And yet you're still being able to testify for God and His goodness. And a lot of that has less to do with us, right, than it does with the grace of God in our lives. And many of you could probably be up here sharing a better testimony than I have about the goodness and the grace of God through hardship. And I look forward to hearing those testimonies throughout our time together to come. But life is such a fine balance, right? You have an idea of how your life should go. There's the American dream. You're born into a loving family. A family takes care of you. You grow. You go to school. You learn. You go on for further education. You get a good job. You have children, a family of your own. You become a grandparent. You have grandchildren, and then you die, and life was wonderful. But it's such a fine timeline, isn't it? It doesn't leave room for anything else that might happen in life in the idea of the American dream. Or even in your weekly living, you wake up. Well, at least I do. I wake up and I have breakfast, I go to work, I come home, I spend time with my family, and I repeat with little variances in between. And that is my life. And I like it that way. Really, I do. And we like comfort. We like balance, don't we? But it is such a fine balance that just the smallest thing that might come into our lives that we're not expecting can throw that all off. And if we're not careful, we'll throw our life into chaos. We like that balance. We like that comfort. We like knowing what's happening. We don't really like, at least I don't really like, the extra pressure that comes in life that can push on my bubble of life. I don't really like that outside pressure. It changes things. It makes me uncomfortable. Not even uncomfortable. It can be even worse than pressure at times. But saying pressure reminds me of a story that my dad would tell about an elephant and a grape. And he would always ask, what did the grape say when the elephant stepped on it? And he would say, it didn't say anything. It just left out a little whine. Just left out a little whine. Because of the pressure. Pressure on it in life. But there's a truth to that. Even in that silly story, there's a truth that when we experience pressure, what's on the inside of us comes out, comes to the surface. It's easy to praise God and love Him and say we do when everything's going right. It's another thing when things aren't going our way, what's really inside of us that comes to the top. So let's turn to God's Word here to see what He says about trials and tribulations. Several of these verses will be from 1 Peter. 1 Peter chapter 4, and Peter is addressing a church that is really going through struggles and challenges and persecution. So a lot of his theme is dealing, what do you do going through hard times? In 1 Peter chapter 4, verses 12 and 13, it says, "Dear friends, do not be surprised at the fiery ordeal that has come on you to test you, as though something strange were happening to you. But rejoice in as much as you participate in the sufferings of Christ, so that you may be overjoyed when His glory is revealed." So let's take a couple things away from there. I want to focus on the very first part. Do not be surprised, right? We're just talking about surprises and how we go through life and the smallest thing can throw us off. Do not be surprised. That means be prepared, right? Be on your guard. We talked a little bit about that this morning in Sunday school, and in Ephesians 6 it says, put on the full armor of God, stand firm, because we know that this world isn't easy. I just saw your hands being raised, that you know life is full of challenges. So we can't walk through life with our hands down and our heads high, just enjoying life and just walking along, da-da-da-da, you know, great, and then all of a sudden, bam! Out of nowhere, something comes and just blindsides us and takes us out and wrecks our faith. So this is what he's saying. Don't be surprised. It's not living in a state of constant paranoia. When's the next bad thing going to happen? When's it going to happen? Living in fear. No. But being on your guard. I think of a boxer. Has his hands up. He's ready for the fight. He's ready. You're advancing like a soldier. You have your armor on. Because you realize that there is an enemy out there. And you realize that this life isn't what we're truly living for, that this we're living in a broken world that is full of hazards and hardships. So we have that mentality that we are prepared. We're set. Our mindset is, yes, I'm enjoying my family. Yes, I'm enjoying my life. But I realize that this is not the life that I'm living for. There is more. And I am ready for the battle that is coming. I will be ready. And how do we get ready for that? Staying in God's Word. Staying in fellowship. Focusing on what's to come. As he says here, you rejoice as you participate in the sufferings of Christ, which in our flesh does not make sense. How can we have joy in suffering? How can we rejoice in those things? But when we think about it in the long term, which he finishes with, so that you may be overjoyed when His glory is revealed. That's what we're living for. I rejoice because the sufferings that I'm in right now remind me that this is not the life I'm to be living for, but in fact that there is a glory that's going to be revealed when Christ comes. How amazing it will be. Thank you, Lord. You know, and reading this and talking about this, talking about being prepared and being on guard and talking about rejoicing in suffering is a lot easier than actually rejoicing in suffering, than living it. How many of you know that we can read something and say, okay, yeah, I got it. I'm prepared. And then all of a sudden it comes like, whoa, I'm not prepared. I'm not prepared. I need a lot of help, and that's okay. You know, that's the equivalent of reading about climbing Mount Everest as opposed to climbing Mount Everest. It's listening to somebody talk about how they trained and ran a marathon as opposed to getting out and running a marathon, or watching on TV a baseball hitter hit a 95-mile-an-hour fastball from a pitcher, getting up to that plate, feeling that nervousness, climbing that mountain, struggling for oxygen, running that marathon, your legs are burning, you want to give up. There's a difference between reading about it and experiencing it. And so I don't want to make light of trials and tribulations, because as we read it, yes, let's be encouraged and let's be prepared, but realize that the experience is hard, and you know that. And like that grape, the pressure squeezes us. And I'm ashamed to say, but realistically, the times in my life when I've been squeezed, when I've had that pressure in my life that ruins my finely balanced way I have of doing things, when it ruins that, things that have come out have been like, why? You know, isn't that one of the first questions? Why? Why, God? One of the unanswerable questions, really. Why is this happening? Yes, yes, there can be answers, maybe, that we can find. Oh, yes, you know, drunk driving, or you know, chemicals in the water cause certain things, or mommy and daddy just don't love each other anymore. There's these ideas that are answers to the why, but they're not really an answer that we want. What we really ask, or what we really want when we ask why, is take it away. We don't want it. I don't care what the answer is, just get it out of here. And that's going to be one of the first instincts you have when hardship comes your way. I don't want it. I don't want it. Why? Why, God? And then doubt and fear. And are you really even there, God? Don't you love me? Why is this happening to me? Why is this happening? And I've had that before. My mother, when she had been on kidney dialysis for years and years, and you know, all kinds of hospital stuff, those who knew the struggle she went through, and she got a kidney transplant. Praise God, she got a kidney transplant, but it was rejected and it failed. And I was driving home and I was shaking my fist at God, saying, why? She went through that all of her life, and then she can't even get relief. And I said, why, God, why? Shaking my fist at God. But then I looked back and I realized what a fruitless effort shaking your fist at God is. It, yes, he's okay with it. He understands that we're human, but it's not accomplishing anything, because God is in control and he is working through it and he is for us. He's not against us. And just like when Jesus turned to his disciples and said, you're not going to leave me too, are you? And they said, Lord, where will we go? You have the words of eternal life. You know, and I came to that conclusion too. Do I reject God because of the suffering that's going on in my life? Or do I say, no, no, God, without you, there is no purpose in life. There is no purpose. But sadly, people turn to that. Sadly, people turn to that. Virgil, where's that water at? Goodness gracious. Oh, thanks. Whew, need a second. You know, and sadly, that right there, the hardship that comes in people's life turns them away from God forever, and they miss out. And we pray that that doesn't happen. We pray that that doesn't happen. And Jesus reminded us of that in the story of sowing the seeds. Some of the seeds fell on hard ground, and the weeds came and choked it, and there wasn't a root, and hardships came, took it away. God knows that there are hardships in our life, but let's not fall away because of those. And don't we want to understand? We want to have all the answers, don't we? And not just in hardships, in all of life. I would love to have all the answers to every question. I would love to have people come before me and sit at my feet and tell me how wise I am because I can answer all their questions. And I hate when people ask questions like, why is this hardship happening to me? And I don't have a good answer. Or even in my own life, I hate not having that answer. But in that is a key. It's pointing to the fact that we are not God, because if we had all the answers, we would be God. And it requires a faith. What we can say is, I don't know all the answers, but I trust in the one who does have all the answers. And I put my faith in him. And it's a difference between a knowledge and having all the answers, and a faith, and the faith in the one who does. It requires a faith. And I left my illustration in the back. Nate, can you grab that box sitting on the table, those blocks? There's some kids' blocks on the back table there. And our life can be affected in so many different ways. And our life's balance is made up of so many different things. This can represent, these blocks here can just represent our life as we build it. Is that even going to say it? Yeah. You know, it can be our marriage, our health, our job, our cars, whatever it might be, our life is made up of, whatever your life is made up of. And just removing one of those blocks can change everything. And sometimes we just feel like God just knocked everything over. And we say, God, what are you doing to me? Why are you knocking over my life? Can't you see I had a good thing going? Why is this happening? It doesn't make sense, God. The way my life was going was perfect. You're ruining it. I thought you loved me. And in that question is revealed how we really feel, how we really think, who we really think should be in charge. Do you hear that? My life, my motives, my agendas have been ruined. The things that I hold most dear, my will be done, is what comes about. And suffering can bring that to the light so quickly, can reveal our selfishness or our pride. Let's look at just 1 Peter 5, 6 through 11. The first verse, verse 6, humble yourselves, therefore, under God's mighty hand. Humble yourself. That's the first thing we have to do. We have to humble ourselves because that flesh wants to rise up and take over and say, no, I can do this. This is the way I need to do it. God obviously doesn't know what he's doing. I will take over. That's what your flesh says. There's a battle that goes on in your life. Humble yourself under God's mighty hand that he may lift you up in due time. In due time. There's time. We like now, don't we? We love now, right away. But there's a due time. For some reason, God asks for our patience. Cast all your anxiety on him because he cares for you. What a promise, what a reminder. He does care for us. And we need reminded of that, especially when we're going through hard times. He does care for us. Be alert and sober-minded. Your enemy, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion looking for someone to devour. There it is again. Be alert. Be on guard. Because the devil is out there. We are at war in this life. Resist him, standing firm in the faith, because you know that the family of believers throughout the world is undergoing the same kind of suffering. And that is encouraging to me, to understand that I'm not the only one that goes through suffering. The world, some people are going through less suffering than me, some same amount, some more. It doesn't matter. There is suffering going on through the world, through the brothers and sisters, and we can stand together and hopefully encourage each other in that time. And the God of all grace who called you to his eternal glory in Christ, there it is again, he's calling us to an eternal glory. After you have suffered a little while, will himself restore you and make you strong, firm, and steadfast. To him be the power forever and ever. Amen. So we see there's a theme through Peter and through the Bible of, yes, there is suffering, but we need to honor God in that suffering. We need to allow him to do the work in us. And we need to stand firm and move on and press on towards the goal to win the prize that God has called me heavenward in Christ Jesus, to finish the race. It's an idea of finishing a race, that marathon. It's not easy. It's hard. We want to give up at times. But hopefully there are people along the way that are holding out water for us to say, keep going. Don't give up. We need each other. You see, there's a philosophy, a way of thinking in our world today that says, if it feels good, do it. You know, it's so based on feeling. Our truth is determined by how we feel. If it feels good, do it. And the converse of that statement would be, if it doesn't feel good, don't do it. So we avoid anything that doesn't feel good. And we can see that in our society. If it doesn't feel good, don't do it. So what happens? People don't commit to things. They don't have commitment. They don't persevere. Because feelings, how many of you know feelings can come and go so easily? And you see that in the divorce rate. You see that in how many jobs people have throughout their lifetime now. They're chasing a feeling. I'm not satisfied. I'm not satisfied. I got to keep finding something that will satisfy me because my feelings, it doesn't feel good. You know, trials, hardships, disasters, they don't feel good. But we can't get away from them. James 1:4, just the neighbor to 1 Peter, James 1:4 tells us, encourages us, let perseverance finish its work. Let it finish its work. It says, please, it's almost like a pleading. Let perseverance finish. Don't give up. I know you're going through hard times right now, but keep going. Because so that you may be mature and complete, not lacking anything. James also tells us that somebody who doesn't have a strong faith is like somebody who's tossed back and forth by the waves over and over again. And it's not a good feeling. Yes, oh God, I love you. I could sing of your love forever, God. Oh, I could sing of your love forever. I can when I feel good. Oh, but then when I'm not feeling good, I don't know if I can love God right now. I don't feel loved. You know. And so suffering takes our faith beyond feeling, takes us outside of feeling. Because when you just dwell on the surface of feeling, you're an immature Christian. But when you can step outside of just your own emotions and how you're feeling and realize that, yes, this is a terrible time, and I don't understand how to have this rejoicing and this joy right now that's just this happiness, but I have a joy that comes from my faith, a joy that comes deeper than just any emotion. It comes from my faith in God and knowing that even though this is suffering and even though this is hard, God will see me through. You know, those are benefits of hardships. The things that of this world, the things that we get so caught up in our day-to-day life, and the things that start to seem important when a trial comes along, they kind of fade away, don't they? They're not as important. Oh, that car, that money, what that person said about me, what I'm going to do tomorrow. Those things don't quite have as much significance. So the things that are really significant in our lives rise to the top. It's not easy, but we can be comforted. God does promise that. Even through trials and tribulations, there is comfort. There is comfort. And I know there are testimonies out there of times that you've been through hardship, and yet, even during that time, you know that Jesus was there and he was comforting you. Let me just read that verse from 2 Corinthians. 2 Corinthians chapter 1. Verse 3, 2 Corinthians 1, verse 3. Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of compassion and the God of all comfort, who comforts us in all our troubles, so that we can comfort those in any trouble with the comfort we ourselves receive from God. So there is comfort. And that's the importance of testimony. If you've been through a hardship, I want to hear about that hardship. I want to hear about how you were challenged in your faith and how maybe you did get angry at God, because that happens, but you realize that God comforted you then, and then there was comfort. And as you share that comfort, I am comforted because I can hear that. Now I want to give the floor to Milton, who has graciously agreed to share his testimony about a tragedy that happened many years ago in his life. And Wanda's life. I'll let you have the floor. Yeah.
So So I'd like to share with you just a little bit about our family, Wanda's and mine. God has blessed us with three beautiful grandchildren, Ava and Noah and Bryce, born to our son David and his wife April. And the topic of this discussion is our oldest son, Robert, Bobby, who was born December 1972 and went home to be with the Lord November 1982. So there was a period of time prior to 1982, a couple years before that, where we had noticed that Bobby was having difficulty with his balance. And he was weaving back and forth when he was walking up to the bus stop. So we had made arrangements to have him looked at by the doctor, and we did that. But let me back up just one day. I came home early on a Friday, and I had lost my job. Great way to start. So we had already made the appointment, and we went in to see the doctor. And from that appointment, we went to Lancaster General the following week, early the following week, for a CAT scan. And from that appointment, we went to Children's Hospital of Philadelphia to consult with a neurosurgeon. And from that appointment, 2 days later, we went into surgery. The diagnosis was a brain tumor, and all that happened within probably a week's time. So it was just a whirlwind and just bang, bang, bang. So in the surgery, during the surgery, we're all in the waiting room, and there's other families there waiting for their child. And I was sitting on the sofa, and I remember closing my eyes to pray. And I knew who God was, but I did not have a personal relationship with him. And this was my rock bottom. I asked for him to be a part of my life, and I committed myself to him. From the surgery, we found out that the tumor was malignant, and we went into a period of radiation treatment and chemotherapy and some experimental treatments. I remember looking up after I had prayed, and there were just so many people around us that were praying with us and praying for us. And it kind of struck me that there was even one pastor there that was from halfway across the state. Happened to be from Everett. He was, quote, in the area. Whether or not he was, didn't matter. He was there. He was there praying for us. So after the treatments, Bobby went into remission for a period of time, but then the cancer returned. And as we went into that period of time, towards the end, he went into seizures, and Wanda went down to CHOP with him. And I remember getting a phone call at work saying that I needed to go down. We met with the doctor, and he said that Bobby wouldn't make it through the weekend. I remember praying with him. And reading him Psalm 23. And I remember him saying, I know you don't want me to leave, but I need to be with Jesus. So early in the wee hours of Monday morning, he went home to be with Jesus. He made it through the weekend. All through that time, there were people that were around us that were praying with us and providing comfort for David and for our family. I remember leaving the hospital and saying, why? And I think that thought stuck with me for a while, but it didn't take too long for me to realize that the why didn't really matter. When I see Bobby next, it won't matter. Through all that time, God was in the hearts and hands of the people that were around us and supported us and made sure that our freezer was full and we had food on the table and our family was being taken care of. We had each other and we had God. And that was really all that we needed. One of the verses that stuck with us from that time is Romans 8, 26 through 28. And I really need to back up to verse 24 because 26 starts out, and in the same way. So in the same way means something else was spoken before that. So beginning at verse 24, for in hope we have been saved, but hope that is seen is not hope. For why does one also hope for what he sees? But if we hope for what we do not see, with perseverance we wait eagerly for it. And in the same way, the Spirit also helps our weakness, for we do not know how to pray as we should. But the Spirit himself intercedes for us with groanings too deep for words. And he who searches the hearts knows what the mind of the Spirit is, because he intercedes for the saints according to the will of God. And we know that God causes all things to work together for good to those who love God, to those who are called according to his purpose. We are just so grateful to a God that loves us,
Milt. Let me just pray with you here. Father God, thank you for Milton sharing his testimony, for Wanda allowing it as well. Pray that his testimony would touch lives, touch hearts, that you would be glorified, you would be honored. Thank you for my brother and sister. Bless them, Lord. Amen. Thank you. You wanna? There's not too much to say after that. That powerful testimony there. I would just like to close with two scriptures from Galatians 6:2. It says that we are to bear each other's burdens, and this fulfills the law of Christ. We have a powerful family here, and we need a powerful family for the burdens that come in life. We need each other. You know, Jesus says, in this world you will have trouble, but take heart. I have overcome the world. And something that we are looking forward to, just want to close with Revelation chapter 21. Revelation 21, verse 4. He will wipe away every tear from their eyes. There will be no more death, or mourning, or crying, or pain, for the old order of things has passed away. He who was seated on the throne said, I am making everything new. And he said, write these down, for these words are trustworthy and true. He's making everything new. Hallelujah, he is making everything new. Thank you, Lord. This time, go ahead. This time we can, just want to open up the floor for anyone who wants prayer for suffering they might be going through right now. That you can feel free to come forward. As we close in a song, I'll be up here. I'll be willing to pray with anyone. Anyone who wants to pray for anyone who comes forward, feel free to come up as we encourage each other.
Whenever I am afraid.